See all these kiddos we got? Y'all listen. What an awesome blessing. Every time I see that, I'm reminded there's going to be people who are talking to them their whole lives, telling them the way things are, telling them whether they're good or not good, telling them what's fun and what's not fun, defining for them things. Aren't you glad that there's so many of them here and we can tell them that Jesus Christ loves them, that they have a great value in the eyes of the Lord, that they're not failures or they're not unimportant, but man, they're important to God and to their church family. Oh, we get a chance. That's it. We get a platform to take that message and tell it to them while they're here. Take that advantage. Pray for our ones working with our children and our youth, because they take that, they have that platform to speak into their lives some things that Jesus had said and tell them about Jesus. And then ultimately those kids are going to have to make their choice, just like you and I had to make our choice. But praise God, we can give them some information on the front end, right? Praise God, we can tell them. You know how God valued you? He valued you with the cross. Do you know how much that cost? It cost one full Jesus, Son of God, all he had. And he gave it for you. He calls it a gift. The gift of God. Wow. Isn't that good? Take the opportunity and share it with them. So glad to be here with y'all. I'm so glad they let me out of prison. For all who weren't here last week, I wasn't here last week either. I was in Parchman Penitentiary, State Prison, Mississippi State Prison, with my brother Curtis and a whole group of people. And we are in there, and I'm not sure how to take this exactly, but after they got to know me for a little while, they said, "You belong here." I said, wow, who you been talking to? Just want to let y'all know I am confessed up, right? You know what I'm saying? I just got it all. Anyways, I said, man, they must know somebody. Anyway, it was an awesome time, but glad to be here. Glad to be back at Christ Community Church. Glad to be with our church family. It was a great time. It was a long, it was 3.5 days, but we were with those guys for 14 hours a day while we were there. And then we had meetings on the front end and on the back end of those 14-hour days. And then we got to sleep in a bunkhouse with 30 other guys and do the locker room community shower thing, which that's always a joy in the morning, you know. Make you want to pack some swim trunks and, you know, just kind of anyways. All this stuff was just, you know, it was difficult. It's not something for everybody. A lot of times people come back from mission trip and they say, everybody's got to go to wherever I just went to. Everyone's got to go to Parchman. Everyone's got to go to the Dominican Republic. Everyone's got to do this. And that's just not true. This wouldn't be good for everyone. Wouldn't be good for everyone. Finding out what God would have you to do for a mission in the kingdom would be good for everyone. It might not be the one that I'm going to share about a little bit today, but God has a place for you. God has a mission for you. It might not be over there or over yonder. It might be you're one of those missionaries that has an effective ministry right across the street from your house or at your workplace. But wherever it is, find it. Do it. Be the missionary there. Be on mission. Right? Right. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what I learned in my time in prison, and just share a little bit of that. And I was excited. It was an exciting place to be. It might seem contrary to what we might think of, but it really was. It was a mountaintop experience, not in a place where you'd expect to find a mountain. It was right there in the middle of the Mississippi Delta. You wouldn't be expecting to find right there amongst people who are in jail, some who are going to be there for the rest of their life and never breathe another breath of fresh air until they never, just never, they never are. They're there till they die, and they know it. Not a place you would expect to find enthusiasm, excitement, hope, faith, and love, except for this. The Lord Jesus Christ done got his card to get in there, and he does. That's somebody they can't stop at the gate. He gets in, and he does his work, even in a place like that, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So let's pray together, and we're going to look at some scripture and just kind of have a time together. Can we do that this morning? We're just going to have a time. And if there's Well, if there's some questions that pop up, I might be able to answer them. If I can't answer them, I will let you know when you ask, okay? But we'll just have a little bit more of a time. And I know I'm putting myself out there because who knows what somebody might ask, but we'll deal with it, okay? If I can't answer it, I might just say something kind and gentle, like, shut up. And that will communicate the point, right? You'll know what I'm saying. You can read between the lines on that, right? Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time that we have to get together. Father, I believe when you call your people together to worship, it's a special time, a time you want to do some work, a time you want to answer questions, a time you want to encourage and lift up, a time that you want to bring those who've been beat down and you want to exalt them up by your Spirit. You want to get them back on the path. You want to awaken the dry bones. You want to do things this Sunday morning, every Sunday morning. Would you help us have that perspective? And Father, just get into what you're doing. Would you help us to know that we're here for you, not here for us, not here for them, not there for they, not here for those. We're here for you, God. You've called your people out, and we gather in your name that you might be in the midst of us, that we might be blessed by you, and that we might be a blessing to you. Lord, we love you, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's a song you need to know. I'm going to sing it. and it's really, it's in the outline. It's in your outline. I gave you the song. It's my 3 points. And I'm going to try it my best I can, and I don't have any music that goes with it. This is a song written at Parchman Penitentiary by a man who's serving a life sentence. He's never going to get out, but he serves as the worship leader in that place. Imagine God appointing a worship leader in a place like that. Well, he has. He's a tall black man. His name is Thin. Thin as a rail. His last name is Wolf. Everybody just calls him Wolf or Mr. Wolf. And he's got a huge smile on his face. And he starts singing. He's got a voice, man. So baritone, so low, low voice. And I'm going to try to sing it like Mr. Wolf would sing it. All right? Anyway, faith, 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 just a little more faith. Faith, 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 just a little more faith. You don't need a lot. Let me get through for one second. But use what you got. Faith, 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 just a little more faith. Now we're going to sing it with me, okay? You ready? Faith, 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 just a little more faith. Faith, 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 just a little more faith. You don't need a lot. Just use what you've got. Faith, 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 just a little more faith. And then you go like this. Peter walked on the water one day, and all he needed was a little more faith. Peter walked on the water one day, and all he needed was a little more faith. Faith, 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 just a little more faith. One more time. Faith, 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 just a little more faith. You don't need a lot. Just use what you got. Faith, 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 just a little more faith. And he'd say, sometimes we need to spell it. F-A-I-T-H. All we need is a little more faith. F-A-I-T-H. All we need is just a little more faith. Faith, 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 just a little more faith. Faith, 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 just a little more faith. You don't need a lot. Just use what you've got. Faith, 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 just a little more faith. And y'all could not imagine as that man leads in worship. how high that worship comes from people who have been beaten so low. Beaten by themselves, by and large. The world, flesh, and the devil, and sin just running rampant in their life, and they're just low. But when they start worshiping God and realizing the promise they have in Christ, you wouldn't believe how high up these guys can go. You couldn't believe how their perspective changes, how their face changes, how the whole demeanor of the place changes. And you forget that you're in unit chapter 30. Sorry, reading books. You forget you're in prison. You forget that you're not just standing in the midst of a Promise Keepers men conference. Or like the women's conference y'all about to go on, and it's just praise and worship, a whole stadium full of people just kind of waving their hands, closing their eyes, raising their voice, and praising the Lord Jesus Christ. You just forget that your feet are still on earth, because it just reminds you of a heavenly place. It reminds you of a better place, okay? Isn't that amazing? How you can be transported by praise. I wish I could give. Everybody needs to know that. Everybody doesn't need to come to that ministry or go to that jail for that. But everybody needs to be transported every once in a while by praise. You need to be able to lose yourself in the goodness of God. You need to have that time with Him. You need to have that perspective change. And see that it's not all about the problems. It's not all about the circumstances. It's not all about how you're getting your behind kicked right here and now. But there's a way to win in Christ. And you need that shift in perspective. And this is the scripture I want to share with you from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is talking about this. And I want you to understand the power of how powerful is our perspective, the way we see things. How powerful is the way we see things and interpret things that are around us? How powerful do you think that is? It's not necessarily the things that actually are around you, but how you see them. How powerful do you think that is? I want you to hear what Jesus said about our perspective. Okay? In chapter 6 of Matthew, verses 22 and 23, he says this: "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Let me pray for us. Father, we've heard your word. We've sung about faith. We're ready to be just blessed, Lord. Would you teach us something today? Teach all of us about how important it is that we keep the outlook and the perspective that you speak of in the Bible as good, so that our life will be full of goodness and light and not darkness, not woefulness, not discouragement and depression and nastiness. Father, would you help us to have that perspective? Pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's interpret this a little bit. He says the lamp of the body is the eye. Jesus was not an optometrist. He was not concerned with your physical eye. Besides that, Jesus knows enough about our bodies to say that when our eyes are open, it does not fill our whole body with light or fill our whole body with darkness. Our body's filled with fluid. The Creator knew that. So what is he talking about? When he says, when your eye is good, or the eye is the lamp of your body, he's talking about your perspective, how you see things, how you perceive, how you interpret. How do you see it? And he says, if it's good, your body, and he's not talking about your physical body, because you can't fill that all with light, right? He's talking about your life. And this body is life. He's talking about your life. If your perspective is good, your life will be, what, partly light, partly dark? Like a chicken? White meat and dark meat? I like dark meat. I can't help it. I just, you know, I'm anyways, I need to stop because I'll get on that whole food thing and you'll lose me. He says your whole body, your whole life will be full of light. But if on the other hand, your eye is bad, and that word bad there has the idea of broken, but it really even works kind of like evil or wicked, sinful. In this case, we could say faithless. If your perspective is faithless, it's not sound, it's not healthy like the good eye. If it's faithless, your life, your body would be full of darkness. Again, not partly, but full. Okay? Now, it's important that we know that this is not talking about the things that involve your life. It's not talking about the circumstances that come into your life. Bad circumstances come into your life. Amen? This past weekend, my wife and her mom and dad and some other members of their family all gathered in Louisville, Kentucky because a 43-year-old member of their family is now dead due to a tragic accident. That's not good. That's not a good thing. It wasn't a good thing. He was a daddy. He had three kids. It's not a good thing. So how can we even perceive this as good? How can all that? But I just want you to know, this is not saying all the things that come into your life is good, but how do you see it? You know, there's a perspective verse in the Bible, Romans 8:28. It says, all things work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Even tragedies have a way of working together for the good. I don't know how. It's not my business to know how. And you don't know how. It's not your business to know how. You're not God. God works together all things for the good to those who love Him are called according to His purpose. But I need you to see in this verse, I need you to understand from this that our perspective, the way we see things, tragedies, problems, circumstances, rowdy kids in the front row, knuckle bump, all these things, how do you see them? How do you interpret them? What kind of sense are you going to make out of them? And I want to challenge you today to examine your perspective on things. Examine your perspective on things. The first way I want you to do that is think about faith. When it says, if your eye is good, y'all believe he's talking about the perspective of faith. He's talking about seeing with faith. If you can see your life through the eyes of faith, you know what faith is? Faith is called the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's a way of seeing. It's a way of interpreting. It's a way of understanding. Can you interpret your circumstances through faith every day? Can you? That question is, yes, you can. Do you? Do you understand the last time you ran out of money, you had something to learn? You realize the last accident you had came to make you stronger, not weaker? You realize when you need help from somebody else and you have to humble yourself and you ask that you're actually growing up in the Lord? You realize by faith that Christ can use your past mistakes for your future strengths? Have you started putting your faith in a God who can take those things that are bad and work them out for the good? See, this perspective is the only way I can even understand a man who is in jail for life singing so beautifully to the Lord, is that he hasn't judged his circumstances and labeled himself victim, death inmate, never to be free again. He has taken faith and said, I might be in here, but in here, I'm the Lord's man. I'm the Lord's freed man. I breathe fresh air, and one day I'll stand on the shore of heaven. One day I'll cross that river of death, and I'll be in God's kingdom. Eternal, and I'll say, hallelujah. I'll be singing by and by. I'll be one of the worship leaders marching by faith. Faith, faith. And I'm going to hear that voice again. All you need. And it's like, wow. He has that perspective. Do you have it? Is your eye good? Let's just put some tests to it. Do you see everything going wrong in your life? I talk to some people, and I almost learn, I'm afraid sometimes to talk to certain people because I know I'm going to get a list of everything that's wrong. And then this, and then the cat died, and then my car blew up, and all this stuff. And all that stuff's happening. They're not making it up. And I just think, God hates me. Why does God hate me? And I'm sitting here going, if you don't get it, if you don't have faith in what the cross stands for, and the one who died on the cross, look on to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Take that faith look onto him and realize those bad circumstances aren't there to destroy you. They're there to make you stronger. You know you don't get stronger without working out? I mean, we got a coach in here. I don't know what soccer players do in their off-season workouts, but I know if you're going to run up and down a field, you better do some working out. We got a basketball, football coach back here in Jamie Harrison. I mean, if you're not working out during the off-season, you're going to fall behind. But you know what working out does? It tears your muscles down through the strain of the workout, and then they have to build back up. You tear them down, and you build them back up. And every time there's a tear down, there's a build up, and you get stronger and stronger. Don't you know the God who loves you, who we call Father, is putting you through a workout every day? And not for your destruction, for your strength. We don't just rejoice in good times, but also in tribulation, because we know it works out in us something good. What a perspective. I was reading a book. It's called From Prison to Praise by Bill Cruthers. And a great book. Great book. And he said God taught him to say thank you in everything. And so he began saying thanks, because the Bible says give thanks in all times for all things. All times, all things. And so he started doing that in his own life. Well, he was sent to Vietnam, and he was a chaplain in Vietnam. And he would have guys come to him, and they'd say, they'd have bad stories, y'all. I mean, bad stories, heart-wrenching stories. You know what I'm saying? You can imagine in wartime, people out there fighting war, and they'll get a letter from their wife, says, hey, I'm leaving you. I fell in love with your best friend, and I'm gone. And he'd bring that into the chaplain. The chaplain, he's, you know, this guy's brokenhearted. And the chaplain would say, first thing we got to do is get on our knees and say, thank you, Lord, for this. And they would go, you've got to be out of your mind, not thanking God. I've been betrayed. I've been hurt. I've been all these things. And he says, you might not understand it now, but God says to give thanks in all things, and even this will work out for your good if you love him and are called by his purpose. So let's say thank you first. And you know what he was doing for those men? He was changing their perspective. Instead of being the victim, they became victorious. If you become to understand that even those things meant to hurt you are there and become tools of God to strengthen you, what can the enemy ever do against you? You know, Joseph in the Old Testament, he got a raw deal. If you don't know, he got beat up, smacked down, sold into slavery by his brothers. Oh, thank you, Lord, I'm an only child. Every once in a while, I just want to say that, you know. Didn't have to go through all that stuff. By his brothers. And then he meets up with them later. And he has this time to sock them in the nose and to pay them back. But you know what? He grew from that workout, and he shared this perspective. What you all meant for evil, God used for good. And now he became the one through whom God worked to save his entire family. Boy, did he look unlikely as a hero. A slave first. A life sentence prisoner second. What's going to come out of this guy's life? Think about how we label people. What a loss. What a tragic failure that guy is. Isn't that horrible? And he could have sat in the corner and cried himself dry. But what happened? God took him from the prison and put him at the right hand of the president, Pharaoh, and he becomes the guy who God uses to save not only that nation, but his whole family. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad there's people who won't be defined, won't be labeled? Can't you be one of them? See it through faith. And it don't take a lot. You don't need a lot. What'd Jesus say? You better have dump truck loads of faith. You better have an ocean-sized faith if you're going to walk with me. If you're going to accomplish great things, you better have mountains of faith. What kind of faith did Jesus say you needed? How much? Mustard seed. No, it's got to be more than that. We've got to have more than that. You know what he said if you had a mustard seed faith? He said you'd move mountains. And I was out west and I saw those Rocky Mountains and I'm thinking, wow. Not quite sure what's going on with that. But he says this, and I can understand it a little better. Nothing will be impossible for you. If you take this perspective and your whole life now becomes full of light, nothing will be impossible for you. You don't need a lot. It doesn't take oceans and boatloads of faith. It doesn't take all kinds of training. You know, we're trying to get the Branch of Hope thing. Have you all heard me say that? It's a sober living center. It's a place for people to go who have been whooped by drugs and alcohol for long enough, and they're looking to get to a place that's going to teach them about Jesus, teach them about how to live a sober life in a residential community, in a residential atmosphere. We're trying to get one of those here. You know who started that? Two crackhead felons. I'm not trying to be facetious or mean. This is his testimony. Tony Wiley and his wife. Both felons, both crack addicts. What happened? How did God use that? And so far, in the time they've been here, you know, I can't get into all these statistics, but they've had approximately 60% of the people who have gone through their program stay sober and clean and sober for a year. Okay? 60%. Do you know what the state-run programs get? Shane, do you know what the state-run programs get? A lot lower. I heard 2%. You heard 7%? Somewhere between 2 and 7%. How is it that these two former crackhead felons are changing people's lives by the hundred and being successful? How?
Jesus.
Thank you. Yeah. Now, well, their perspective was changed by Jesus. They see things different. They don't define themselves as crackhead felons. Praise God, your past isn't as big as your Savior. You're not a sum of your mistakes. That's the idea of being born again. It's the idea of being forgiven. The idea of being set free. And you know what? These guys, they don't have a degree in this stuff. They don't have, you know, all this training. They don't have, you know what they had? They had mustard seed faith and a heart of compassion that said, I was given a gift. I need to give it to somebody else. And they were willing, for the glory of God and for the service of others, to give up what they had in order to help other people the way they'd been helped. You might say, well, and look, I promise that's all it takes. You want to change your world? Be willing to give up all you got for the glory of God and the service of others. You will be a world changer. You might say, I don't know if I can do it. Ask God. Ask God to help you. But don't you think for a moment, when Jesus said it takes a mustard seed of faith and nothing is impossible for you, he was not speaking just hypothetically. Thank you. It was up there, the word. He wasn't just speaking lofty words. He wasn't just trying to make it all seem good. These people shouldn't have been able to do nothing but have menial jobs, right? According to our system of labeling, these are drug addicts who are felons, spent time in jail. They can't do nothing good. Yeah, what if God changes their life? What if God changes their point of view? Then they can help hundreds. Nothing's impossible for them. Amen. It don't take a lot. You just got to be able to willing to give what you got. That's the last part of that song. Just use what you got. Just use what you've got. What do you have? What do you have? You know, from a certain perspective, especially in America, we're people who often don't think we have a lot. It's weird. It's like we just don't see ourselves as having a lot because we see and hear of people who have so much. You know, 8,000. I was talking to this guy. He's building a home for a senator here in Mississippi. And it's just him and his wife. And it's an 8,000 square foot home. And I think, man, that's about the size of church we're trying to build. You know, that's 3,000 square foot bigger than what you're, this building we're in right now. And we're meeting with over 100 people. They're going to live. I don't know how many. It's cool. But see, sometimes we'll see people who have a lot and we get to thinking we don't have much. But what do you really have? Let's change our perspective about what we got. We have got more than anybody else in the world. America is going to be the top 1-3% of the globe. I remember doing some research when I was in missions class and looking at these people, and they said, well, they eat 3 to 4 days a week. They eat 3 to 4 days a week. Not 3 to 4 meals a day. 3 to 4 times a week they would eat. And you sit there and go, wow, I probably throw out more food in a week than they consume in a week. How much do I got? You know, when God started working in my life, there was somebody there to share a witness with me. There was a Bible available to me. There was a church to take me in and smack me around when I was a young Christian so I'd get the stupid things out of my life. There ain't nobody to kick them around like that in so many places in the world. There's not access to His Word. There's not access to His people. What do you got? How many people I've seen pull out a big old phone, a smartphone, and I'm still on the dumb phone. I still need a dumb phone. They pull out their smartphone and they got the Bible right with them. They're just tracking with it. They can look it up in 4 different translations and get the original language and all that. Praise God. There ain't nothing wrong with having that. Awesome. But just realize what you got. Realize how blessed you are. Realize what you have. You know, Jesus, my goodness, you got an eternal treasure. You got something that never can be taken away from you. I love the way 1 Peter talks about heaven. He says, there is a place reserved in heaven for you that will never tarnish or never grow old or corrupt. It's reserved in heaven for you. And I think, whoo, man, I don't know if I got a place on this earth that's reserved for me. I don't know if I got a place anywhere else besides heaven reserved for me, but that's enough. That makes me rich. Do y'all get that? I am rich. I might not have 2 pennies to rub together sometimes in this life, but the reality of things is I got a gift that keeps on giving forever and ever. I'll never be broke. The bills are all paid, and the place is waiting for me. Praise God. That's the perspective these guys in jail. These men are caged. Not all of them have this perspective. So many of them are still victims. Victims to the man. I'm in here because somebody did something to me and I had to do something to them and then all this stuff. Well, they're a victim. Go ahead, live, breathe, and die in that place with that mentality. Or get out and get put right back in. You know what happens to people when most people get out of jail? What happens? They go back in. Why? That's all they know. Their perspective has never changed. See how powerful this thing can be? Anybody here have a problem that's lasted 10 years or more? Anybody? Am I the only one? I've had some problems that really cling on. Why don't I beat them? Why haven't I beat them? My perspective has not changed. I'll just be honest with you. When I get to a certain point, I get the same result because I try the same thing. And I go the same distance to beat it. And I find out the same thing. That doesn't make God love me less. It just means I'm not living in the freedom. It means I'm not using all that I got. Just use what you got. To each man God has given, and that's mankind, to each of us, God has given a measure of faith. Romans chapter 3, verse 12, chapter 12, verse 3. Teach, God has given a measure of faith. Use what you got. Start seeing things different. Now, what about church? That's why I want to bring it to towards our end. Because look, a lot of people might even be here today because they got to. You ever have a case of the got to's? I got to go to church. I got to read my Bible. I got to sing praise. I got to do this. I got to do that. You're never going to have that do the impossible lifestyle if it's all got to's. We need to change our perspective to get to. I get to go to church. I get to read my Bible. I get to talk to God. I get to sing His praises. I get to be a witness. I get to do what He told me to do. And it doesn't matter if I'm broke and all these things. It doesn't matter if my car don't work, if my dog bit my leg, or what's going on. You know, this past week I had to be Mr. Mom. Sarah was out of town. She was doing what she needed to do to take care of her family. She went with her mom and dad. She left me with 3 of the 4 of my kids. You know what I did? I panicked. It's like every dad. So what? I didn't question her. I didn't question her out loud. I questioned her silently. Are you sure they will be safe? Are you sure I will be safe? Is this going to work? And man, I've done. But you know what? The truth is, I got the privilege of spending time with my kids in a different kind of way. You know, if I have a different perspective on that, what a great blessing. And when my family came home and Sarah and Annabeth came home, Annabeth ran in the house and pounced me. It was like, I don't know what time it was. I had already gone to bed, and she walked in and she just started pouncing on me. Daddy, 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 daddy. And I said, thank you, Lord. Wow. Thanks for waking me up. Thanks for being here. Do you have that kind of perspective on church, family? But y'all, listen. Let me bring it right down. We're in 2 weeks. Like, we're moving. We're moving. And I just, listen. It might not be the most natural thing. It's a scary thing. Because anytime change comes in, there's a scary thing. But can we have that perspective? If you want to look for problems, you'll see them. They're there. I promise. You won't even have to look far or deep. But what if we ask God as a church family, say, give me that perspective that doesn't see the problems but sees the opportunities, that sees the potential, that sees the wonder of what could be, of says, man, we've been here for 14 years. Let's try it in the middle of town. Let's go there. What happens if things don't work? Let's go somewhere else. What happens if this fails? Let's fail going forward. Let's have a workout. Man, let's take this gospel into places we've never been before. Let's try it. Let's do it. Let's have that perspective that says, we're going to go. We're going to overcome. We're going to have the triumph. That's what we got. And we can come to that perspective. I don't have to be there. We don't have to do this. I don't have to, and I'll put my foot down and not do what I don't have to do. You don't have to, but you get to. You get to be for this lifetime, this short lifetime. You get to exercise your faith in Jesus Christ and perhaps be a light that changes somebody's eternity through His power, through His grace. You get to be a woman of grace. You get to be a man of grace as we talk about the salvation through Christ. Can we have that perspective? Can we grow it? It doesn't have to come natural. It doesn't. That's a blessing of perspective. You can change. I can change. In places where I have a dark perspective and I'm not looking at it by faith, I need to change. Same with you. Same with all of us. Can we do that? I'm excited about that. Y'all, listen. If God can take those caged men and bring out of that a mighty church. Church is a gathering of His people. And I want to tell you, the people who, I had a great fellowship with the men who were there for the first time on that Kairos walk. They were there, it was their first time and it was my first time. So we sat there and we talked to each other. But you know, there was 24 or more men who had been through those Kairos things before. And they were serving, and they were smiling, and they were showing love and blessing to these other inmates. And to those of us who had gathered there, they are the ones who I saw, like Mr. Wolf, who had that perspective that said, I might be in here forever, or at least till I breathe my last breath, but I got a better home, and I'm going to serve Jesus where I am with what I got, because my faith leads me that way. How about you and me? Will we use our faith to share what we have, where we are? Will we do it? What an awesome blessing we'll have, Christ Community Church. Let's pray. Father God, you have for us a vision, a mission, and it's so awesome. Lord, would you help us to see it? Help us not to be weary. Lord, this whole week I've been weary and tired. I felt overwhelmed. But Lord, help me to know that I'm not the overwhelmed. I'm not, that's not who I am. I'm a child of God. And though your children may fall 7 times, they get up 8. And Father, would you give us that perspective, that overcoming, victorious perspective that says, I will not be defined the way the world and my circumstances want to define me. I'll be defined by the cross of Christ that says I'm loved, that I'm forgiven, that I've been graced by God. Help us, Lord, to have a perspective change. And when it comes to doing church, that we would be mighty messengers for the Lord Jesus Christ. That we would be a light in a dark place. That we, Father, would take on that yoke that you've said is not. Your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. But would you help us to take it on and to be taught by you, Lord Jesus, to find the people you would have us to find. We love you, Lord. Before we end this prayer, with eyes closed, heads bowed, if you're in need of prayer right now because you need a change in perspective, maybe because you've been whooped by the same problem, maybe because your past has been defining you and you have not been, maybe your past mistakes have been possessing you and you have not been possessing them to become stronger and wiser in the Lord. If you're standing in the need of prayer right now, maybe it's about the future and about the move, whatever it's about, if you need a perspective change and you need the boldness that comes with it, would you raise your hand up now? Would you raise your hand up? Amen. Amen. All around. Let me finish this prayer. Lord, thank you for what you want to do in our lives. You want to change our point of view. Would you turn our eyes onto Jesus, looking onto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith? Oh, Lord, would you help us in whatever it is we're facing to rise above it, not just through the power of positive thinking, but through the power of faith that comes through Jesus Christ, that we're just change us, change our point of view. Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.